Praise the Lord. Isn't that a lovely wee song? Praise the Lord tonight. There were no service again on Thursday. It's the new year on Wednesday, and a lot of people still sick. So I thought that we'll omit this week again, Thursday. So we'll be back Sunday. Myself in the morning, we're preaching, and Brother John in the evening. And I was meant to catch up with Keith Moxham. He's back home, he's got married, and I was meant to catch up with him maybe tomorrow, but him and his wife took sick, and they've caught this bug. I think it's been going round. And whatever there is about this bug that's going round, you can tick it, and in a day you're all right, and then you tick it again. It's crooked, isn't it? It's a crooked bug. I had it a while back, thought it was all right, and then it attacked my cane. And our William had it, and he was really bad. He was bad for over a week. So I want to pray for Brother Gary as well. And Jenny's not too well, the girls is not too well, Colin, Lydia's not too well. There's a lot of people's got it, and it's going round. And we just want to pray that the Lord will touch them tonight. Praise God. And I want tonight to talk about a love story, and it's like a question and answers thing. I've wanted to do this for a while. It's really for the unseen, but I hope that the Lord will just bless it tonight as we look at it. Let's just come and pray, first of all, this evening. And I want you to join with me as I pray tonight, that God will touch those that I'm going to be praying for this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before you tonight in the name that you've set far above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence by the new and living way of the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Father, we plead the merits of your blood tonight over those that will mention in prayer, and we pray that the quickening power of the Holy Ghost will go upon each one. Father, we pray for Brother Gary from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, that you'll give him a mighty touch from heaven. And Lord, for his whole family, that you'll touch every one of them. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Pray for Sister Jenny and her girls. You'll touch them all, Lord. And Colin and Liddy, and Father, for George and Winifred, and for others, Lord, that's maybe been not mentioned, but they need your miracle touch. Heal them, we pray. We rebuke the devourer. We rebuke the spirit of infirmity. We rebuke every disease and every cold and flu. We take charge over it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we curse it in Jesus Christ's name. And we pray that people will mend, get well, and we'll speak over Keith and Anna as well, that they'll get well in Jesus' precious name. Father, this evening for the McBurney family and the Patterson family, comfort and strengthen them. For the Sands family, comfort and strengthen them, Lord, in each one in this house. Bless them tonight as we look at this word. Bless your word, I pray. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to read, well, there's loads of scriptures. I'm going to go through them. If you could follow tonight on the board as we go through them. And the first one is John 1, verse 3 to 4. It's just really a lot of different wee scriptures, question and the answers in the scripture. It's really for the unsaved. And I think it's good to have it if it's recorded and somebody gets a hold of it. Praise God. A love story. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. First of all, this evening in this love story, who gave you life? And here we've read in the Bible, and the Bible is clear that Jesus Christ did. That there is no life given to any person or any being or anything outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was God in the beginning that breathed into Adam and made him a living soul. So all life comes from God. That's where it comes from. And it's wrong to think, and people think the devil done this and the devil done that. The devil will never do anything to bless you or help you. He'll kill you if he can. That's his job. He's a liar. But Jesus wants to give you life. So this life's from the Lord. who created the world that you live in? The Bible says Jesus did. So Jesus gave you life. Jesus created the world we live in. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were made by him and for him. I'm glad he's power over the devil and he's power over every demon, because he made them and he created them. Therefore, he's greater than them. Amen. He's greater than them all tonight. Who knows everything you've ever said or every thought in your heart that you've ever had? Who knows about it? The Bible says Jesus does. Jesus knows every thought we ever have in our heart, and he knows everything we ever said. The Lord Jesus knows about it. Other people might know about it, but the Lord Jesus Christ knows about it. Psalms 139 verse 4 says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. We need to be careful what we're saying, and we need to be careful in our hearts what we're thinking, because the Lord Jesus Christ knows everything we're saying, and he knows every single thing we're thinking. And we want to be thinking good thoughts and the right thoughts. And the Bible says, think upon whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, think upon these things. Who knows the lonely and the really scared that maybe you are tonight, or someone listening in tonight? The Bible says, and who really understands you? The Bible says Jesus does. Jesus knows every person that's lonely. Jesus knows every person that's scared. And I tell you, Jesus, when he was here as a man, suffered at every single point, like as we do, and was tempted and tried on every single point. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. So there's not one thing hidden from the Lord. The Lord knows everything we're suffering. When we're sick, the Lord knows about it. When we're suffering, the Lord knows about it. When we're praying, the Lord knows about it. And you know, I've been asking the Lord recently, I've been praying for the Lord to heal me, because I need healing from a certain thing. And I know the Lord's healed me before. And I know the Lord can heal me again. And I'm going to keep praying and keep believing the Lord to heal me, because I know the Lord's a healer. Just like he's a Savior, he's a healer. And I want you to be encouraged tonight. The Lord can heal you. And if he ever healed once, he can heal again, because he's Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a healer. Who knows all about your sins? And I tell you, there's so many people tonight, and they murder, they're cheating, they're swearing, they're having affairs, they're full of unbelief, full of witchcraft, homosexuality. There's a number of things you could mention. These are only to name a few. They hate their parents. They worship false gods. There's drunkenness. There's so many false things you could mention this evening. And God knows all about it, and his sin in the eyes of God. The Bible says Jesus knows all about it. Jesus knows everything tonight. He knows who killed that wee woman the other week. And even if they hadn't have found who done it, Jesus knows who done it. He knows every baby that's aborted. He knows everything. He knows who planted the seed in someone's mind to do something they should never have done. It started somewhere, but thank God Jesus knows all about it. Matthew 9:4 says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows our own thinking. He knows every single thing about us tonight. Praise God. Who wants you to be in heaven with him? Who wants you to be in heaven with him? The devil certainly doesn't want you to be in heaven. But the Bible says Jesus does. Jesus wants you to be in heaven with him. That's why Jesus came. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It is not anybody else that wants you to be in heaven other than Jesus. Jesus loved us so much, he wants us to be in heaven with him. He said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also, and whither I go, you know. And you know, when they said unto him, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. I said it this morning, I'm going to say it again tonight. A denomination's not the way. There's good people in them all. Some of them say good things. Some of them say bad things. None of that's important. Jesus is important. He's the way. He's the only way. Praise God. He's the way tonight. Now, there's people preach that, and that's good that they do preach that, and we want to preach that. Isn't that right? You see, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So it's the Lord Jesus wants us in heaven with him. Who wants to keep you from going to hell? Jesus does. The devil wants you to go to hell. That's his job. That's his plan. He's not keeping you from hell. He wants to send you to hell. But Jesus wants to keep you from going to hell. And Jesus died on the cross for this purpose, to keep men and women from going to hell. That's how much he loved them. This is a love story. This love story is a love story of Jesus. That he loved you and he loved me so much, young man. Young woman, the Lord loved you so much. Jesus loves you. And he doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go the whole way to heaven. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I tell you the one, you know, we're concerned about our children, aren't we? And family members, we see them, we want to see them saved, and the Lord wants to see them saved as well. Isn't that wonderful? He's not willing that any should perish. We have a step up now with that. We have a step up. That should give you a step up in your faith, knowing that when you're praying, you're in God's will. When you pray for your son or your daughter to get saved, you're absolutely in the will of God, because the Word of God says you are. And don't you worry about predestination, who's in and who's out. You leave all that to the Lord. I'm not smart enough or big enough to start to ponder in my finite mind. Who do you think will come and who not come and who's this and who's that? That'll be the Lord's business. But I'm going to pray and believe for my children and your children that the Lord will save them and that God wants them, according to that scripture in 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish. He wants them to be saved. Praise God for it. Who loved you so much that he would leave his throne in heaven for you? Jesus. Jesus loves you so much that he left his throne in heaven for you. Ever before he was here on earth, he was in heaven. He said before Moses was I am, that said you're not yet 50. How could you be before Moses? And he says all things are made by him and for him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came the whole way from heaven to save you and me. The whole way from heaven. Who loved you so much that he would shed his precious blood to wash away your sins and die for you? Who loved you so much to do that? Jesus. I said it the other week, some people might listen in and hear it, but I'll make no apologies for it. I believe William Branham was a genuine prophet of God, but he never shed one drop of blood for my salvation. He couldn't. He wasn't good enough. Now, that's a big thing to say, but that's absolutely the truth. William Branham could no more save me than he could save his own self. And he could never save his own self. For the Bible says every single man is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Every single one of us needed to be saved. And there was only one man that could save us. That was Jesus. Jesus' blood's the only blood worth preaching about, worth talking about. Jesus' blood's the only blood that can wash us and cleanse us from all sin. And when you hear a preacher saying that we're not preaching the blood no more, we're not doing this with the blood no more, and someone else with the blood no more, you need to keep clear of him. Because he's no message. He's an anemic gospel he preaches. And it's anemically dead. But I'll tell you, the life of the blood's what gives life and the kick to the message of the gospel. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And Jesus shed his life's blood. The Bible doesn't talk about other things cleansing you. The Bible talks about the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing from all sin. I know we're washed in the water of the word, but don't blow that out of its proportion. Keep preaching the blood as well. A lot of people say we're washed with the word. Now we don't need the blood. That's pure out of context. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, every sinner in the street, you go to work with the devil, the quote won't set him out. You'll need the power of the blood of Jesus, like them disciples had. And what William Branham and Wigglesworth and all them men had it. And we need the same thing. Thank God for the blood. I'll tell you, he loved you so much that his precious blood was shed to wash away your sins. Jesus is the only one. Galatians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. How's your sins forgiven? Through the blood of Jesus. You take away the blood, you have no forgiveness. Take away the blood. I preach 10 things that are absolutely impossible when you take that blood away, and the devil hated that message. And I can tell you in authority, when I preached that, before I went out to Africa to preach it, the Lord said to me, every single place you preach this, people will be saved, and they were saved. And there was revival out there in Zimbabwe when I preached that, one of the servitors. And Brother Dix, brother, after just a few services, baptized 100 new converts after just a few meetings, just preaching in that message. And the Holy Ghost come back in the congregation in the tongues and interpretation. And he spoke out to them people in their message churches. And he said, this is the real message preaching you're hearing here today. That's what the Holy Ghost. I didn't tell him to say it, but the Holy Spirit come down and said it. And I tell you, when you take the blood out, you're not preaching any message. You have an anemic message. But I thank God for the blood of Jesus. When I fall short, when William Branham saw that blood circling the earth, when he went to condemn that woman, so one of the brothers mentioned it the other week, he saw the blood of Jesus circling the earth, and he forgot about that woman's condition, and he realized he was a bigger sinner she was. But the Lord had mercy on him. And if the Lord had mercy on him, why should he not have mercy on her? And the Lord did have mercy on her. And he changed his whole attitude toward her, and he began to tell her about the love of Jesus. And she got down on her knees in that restaurant, and she came back to Jesus Christ and got restored. And I thank God for the blood of Jesus that it can cleanse from all sin and all righteousness. Who loved you so much that he rose from the dead and went back to heaven? Jesus did. I'll tell you, Buddha and Muhammad never rose from the dead and went back to heaven. There's carcasses or whatever's left them somewhere in some place, wherever they were left. They're still there. If you ever put them there, go back and find them. They're going to stay there until the great resurrection to God raises them. For they have no power, no strength in themselves to raise them. But Jesus is not in the tomb. And Jesus is not on the cross. But he's risen indeed. Amen. Yes. He's risen indeed. Acts 1:9 till 11 says this, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, this is the Lord Jesus, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. There's the angel of the Lord, same as Thessalonians, the cloud. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. He was taken up into heaven and he came down from heaven. Amen. He transcended two worlds. Hallelujah. Transcended two worlds. I tell you, they never could get out of Abraham's bosom until the blood of Jesus was shed. And when the blood of Jesus was shed, he emptied Abraham's bosom. Amen. Now, I can't fully explain Abraham's bosom and what dimension it was at, but there was a dimension somewhere and Abraham's bosom was in there. But I want you to know Jesus emptied it when he shed his blood and he brought them out of it. And they saw them in the streets and the cities and scared the life right out of them. And I tell you, he's coming again. He's coming again. Comes from God and he goes back to God. Doesn't the Bible say it? Your Bible says it. My Bible says it. Because he loves you. Who loves you enough that he would build a glorious mansion in heaven to live in? Jesus. Jesus loves us so much. Isn't it beautiful if you're able to do it here on earth? The prophet says, keep on farming, keep on raising your children. You had to keep on going. You can't lie back. You had to keep on going. Isn't it nice? Whatever. If you have a house and you try and get it finished and that you can move into it and live in it, isn't it nice? It's wonderful, isn't it? It's a nice thing. And you just thank the Lord Jesus. It's been away 2,000 years and he's preparing a mansion for us. And I don't believe in these new translations where it's a wee room or some sort of a wee pokey place. But I believe it's a mansion, just like my Bible says it. He's built me a mansion over yonder. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I'll be able to skip around it. I'll tell you, it'll take me a long time getting around it. That's the way I'm looking at it. Amen. I'll tell you, do you believe you're getting a mansion? I'll tell you, I'm looking for a mansion. John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. Hallelujah. Praise God. Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, it's like the old boy told me at Sunday school. He says, Brother Tom, it doesn't mean little mountains. Faced like a grain of mustard seed, the mountain will be cast into the sea. And he says, it doesn't actually mean a little mountain. And I says, well, I believe it like it says it. And then that same boy will come along. Once he gets his collar or whatever he gets fixed on him, it's not collars today, you know, brothers. There's collars is nothing. It's cloaks now they're wearing. Do you ever see the cloaks I have? Yellow and white. And then do you ever see the one hat they're wearing? Lately, there's a boy now I've seen there not long back. He had one of the Fish God hats on. Church England, that's who he was. No better than the Pope himself. He's the Pope of England. If ever there was one, he was one. And he had the Fish God hat. Every single symbol in his garments represented death, hell in the grave. And he had all his garments on him. And then they'll tell you, oh, but it's not really a mansion. It's a wee room. Well, you can keep the room, for I'm going to a mansion. Amen. That's just how it is. And I tell you, if God can move a mountain, God can do something for me and you. And I'll tell you, God can move a mountain. God opened the Red Sea and they walked over it in dry ground. And the same God that opened it and let them walk over closed it again. And it killed their enemies. And the best mechanic took the wheels out. Not right, brother? Praise God. And they couldn't get the chariots to the other side, but they broke in the middle. Is that the truth, Brother Laurie? He took the chariot wheels off. And I'll tell you about that. There's a man found them. A man, Wyatt. Was it Wyatt they called him? He found the chariots, brother. And the wheels was off them. And they were still at the bottom. And somebody said it wasn't very deep. Well, it was deep enough to drown the horse. And I'll tell you, have you ever seen a horse could stand at 6 foot, whatever a horse is? 17 hands or 16 hands. Horses are big. I'm telling you. And it drowned them horses and the chariots and all. The whole lot went in. But the Israels come out. Every one of them. And the Bible says there wasn't one of them lost. And the Bible says there wasn't a feeble one amongst them. God preserved them and kept them.
Hallelujah.
That's the power of God we're working with tonight. Who wants to tell him how very sorry you are for your sins and that you will turn away from your sins? I'll tell you, if you're going to tell somebody, there's no point telling the priest down there or the pastor. You can tell the pastor you want, but it won't save you or make no difference to you. But there's a man called Jesus, you can tell him. And I tell you, when you tell Jesus, it'll make the difference. And I don't care what preacher or how good he is or what pastor how good he is, but every one of them, if they're genuine and tell you the truth, they're somewhere in their own lives. Somewhere they'll have to get on their knees and say, Lord, there's something I've done that shouldn't have done it. Will you forgive me? Thank God for Jesus. Luke 5, 31 to 32, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's a message for the sinner tonight. It's a message of hope. Message of hope. Romans 3 and 10, as it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one tonight. Who wants to come into your heart if you ask him? Jesus. Jesus wants to come into your heart. There's a lot of things men want in their heart. There's a lot of things what we could put in our heart. But when Jesus comes into our heart, he makes a change. I hear so much today, oh, he's saved, but he's struggling with this and he's struggling with that. He can't give up this and he can't give up someone else. That's not the Bible I'm reading. The Bible I'm reading says when you get Jesus, you're a new creature.
Amen.
Old things pass away. Behold, you're new. You're born again. Amen. Here's a lovely scripture here, and it's so simple, but it's yet profoundly true. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess to thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For if the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto, sorry, Let me read it again, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is simple. You know, there's places that they never preach this simple verse here. They talk about being saved and they never get to it. But getting saved so easy, it's calling on the name of the Lord. And you cannot get saved in 2024 different than what the Apostle Paul got saved. The Apostle Paul called on the Lord and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you call on the Lord and you're baptized the same way. Salvation's the same tonight. And I'm going to tell you another thing too. There's some people that are extreme in the water. Well, the water's no power. But the Lord Jesus Christ has power. And I believe Jesus can save you without water. But you need to go to the water just to say it, I've got it. But the water doesn't save you. There's no power in the water. The power's in Jesus. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Who's willing to do it? Who's willing to do it? Is there somebody listening in tonight to this message and you're willing to do it? Is there somebody in this room tonight and you're willing to do it, young person, to call on the name of the Lord and be saved? Are you willing to do it? Whosoever will may come. Who loves you so much that he will share his riches with you and share his glory with you? Jesus. Amen. Jesus loved you so much he wants to share his riches with you. He wants to share his glory with you. Amen. 1 John 3 and 2. Now, beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Lord's going to share it with us. And the Lord's got a crown tonight, and we're going to have a crown as well. And I love that wee song we used to sing it. When the battle's over, I shall wear a crown. Hallelujah. The righteous judge is going to give me a crown of unfading glory. Hallelujah. Now you could preach a whole sermon on the crowns, couldn't you? That'll be a good message, just to preach on the crowns. The best crowns are one Jesus was wearing. The brow that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. Hallelujah. He's the Lord of all glory. Praise his name. Who loves you so much that he would put an angel at the side, your side, to protect you? Jesus. Jesus loves you so much, many of us can testify to it. The Lord will send an angel to your side to protect you. He could go the extra bit just to get you saved. He loves you so much. That's the Lord Jesus. Nobody else could do it. Your friends will forsake you. Your friends will fail you. But Jesus will never forsake you, never fail you. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall all be heirs of salvation? Many a time the Lord sends an angel who wants you to with him when he comes back to earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus does. Jesus does. Jesus wants you to be with him. Wants you to be with him when he comes back. Revelation 19, verse 11, 14, and 16. Here, listen, I'm near finished. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. I'll tell you, that's certainly not the devil, that's Jesus. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And the armies which were in the heavens followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now some woman said there's no animals in heaven. Well, there's a brave lot coming from it here. Where did they come from? You see, somebody can have an idea, but if that idea doesn't match the Bible, it's only an idea. And God can have an animal on earth. He can have it in heaven. I can tell you that right now. And they're coming riding on white horses. Amen. Do you believe that? These things are moving. I'm telling you. There's nothing you can think of on this earth. And our brother John's testimony really brought it out. The angels of God, nothing can move like them. You can't follow it with your eye. There's no such thing. You know, I saw a program where there's a plane was traveling, I don't know what speed, and this thing just went doop, doop, doop. It could leave it and go forward and come back and leave it and go forward. And the plane was doing, I don't know what, miles an hour. And they believed it was an angel. And he could just leave it and go forward. There's no such thing as speed. It's beyond our human comprehension. It's from heaven. And I tell you, people saying about angels being injured, no, that's pure nonsense. There's not one thing in this earth can injure them. They're supernatural beings, aren't they? Amen. And you just think the Lord can have one by your side. And the Lord wants us to share heaven with him. Amen. Verse 14. And the armies which were were in heaven followed him upon white horses. They were in heaven, and they followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! What a Savior we serve tonight. Who loves you so much that he wants you to rule at his right side throughout all eternity? Jesus does. Jesus does. Revelation 5 and 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign in earth. Praise God. We're going to reign with the Lord in this earth for 1,000 years, you know, brother. You know, I'm looking at it tonight. I'm thinking at it this last few days. Billy was 76. My dad was 78. It's not that old, really. They've went on. Ron Borthwick couldn't have been any more than about 70. Was he even 70, sister? Just early 70s. John Noble's another one. They're all gone. Peter Chandler. Peter Chandler, there's another man, not that old either. Gone. And you're going to live and reign with the Lord 1,000 years. The very thing that no man could do, we're going to do it. Amen. There's not a man lived 1,000 years. The oldest man that ever lived died before his father did. Methuselah. 900 and something years, but he died. But we've got something in us called eternal life from Jesus. And we're going to live and reign with the Lord on this earth 1,000 years. And ever before that 1,000 years starts, he's going to take us in a rapture. We're going to go home and be with him for years before. Then we're going to come back with him, king and queen, and stand on the Mount of Olives. Just split in the middle, go up into Jerusalem each time of the year. There's a lot of stuff in it, but I'm just telling you quickly. He's coming for us because he loves us. Revelations 1 and 8, and then I'm closing. I want you to know tonight the Lord Almighty loves you. I am Alpha and Omega, I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He's coming again. And he loves you tonight. Let's stand our feet this evening, praise God. And I want to pray again before Brother Gary comes. And listen well tonight, and I didn't want it to be too long, and it's been nice. Heavenly Father, we believe you tonight. Lord, there's so many of us we need this evening. People suffering, Lord, from their body, sickness, diseases. But Lord, you love us, and it's by your wounds, your stripes, we're healed. You sent your word and you healed them and you delivered them. Lord, I pray like they prayed in the book of Acts. I'm asking you tonight that you'll stretch your arm forth with mighty signs and mighty wonders and mighty miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Pray you'll deliver your people from every sickness. Pray you'll deliver them from every infirmity. Pray that sickness will be banished from amongst them by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, you promised if we preach the word that you'll come forward and you'll confirm the word. Lord, if we preach the truth tonight, we pray that the Holy Ghost will come and confirm that truth to be the truth. Lord, ye said ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And him whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Bless each one in this room this evening, from the youngest to the oldest. For those that would listen in the messages, bless them, O God. Touch them, strengthen them. May the Holy Ghost do something, I pray. May you move in these meetings, Lord. We need you to come in a mighty measure. Lord, we've felt the tinkling on our feet. But, oh God, we need waters to swim in. Deep waters, Lord. Help us, Lord, tonight. Help us, Lord, and move us with the Holy Ghost, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. May we hear the going in the top of the tree in the mulberry bush. The wind going in the top of the trees, Lord. May you send the abundance of rain in the name of Jesus Christ. Revive thy work in the midst of the years, I pray. In Jesus' precious name tonight. Father, bless everyone in this house. Meet every need. Multiply the finance. Touch the bodies. Touch the minds. Touch the stomach. Touch the back. Touch the knees. Oh, God, touch your people, I pray, with a mighty touch in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Come on, head aches to go. Back aches to go. Leg aches to go. Stomach aches to go. I curse them and rebuke them. Satan, you liar. Rebuke the spirit of infirmity and the spirit of fear tonight. Lord, you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of truth, and that of a sound mind. We speak the Holy Ghost on your people. We speak the name of Jesus on them and the blessing of that name. In Jesus' precious name, bless them tonight. Bless your own people, Israel. Bless all that's been prayed for. Bless the remainder of this service to thou would come or call. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. As your brother Gary comes, and we'll be back next Sunday. The Lord bless you.
Amen. Let us sing the hymn, Joyful, Joyful Will the Meeting Be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free.